This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:07 on the evening edition with Kelvin and Hezriel. And our next story is about whether hair salons, saloons should reopen. And this is a contentious question. The government, of course, initially designated barbershops an essential service early on in the MCO and then revoked it after salon owners refused to open, citing safety concerns for employees and customers. And really, this boils down to how it's impossible to impose physical distance during a haircut.
Yes, and some people have had their barbers pay house visits. However, organizations like the Malaysian Hairdressing Association have called this quote-unquote dangerous, since there's no way to enforce proper SOPs to reduce the risk of infection. So they're urging the government to let salons reopen, especially as a number of COVID-19 cases have stabilized.
Now, Michael Poe, the association's president, has said that allowing salons to operate will let the government better monitor and enforce SOPs, which include temperature screenings, making sure their barbers wear protective clothing, and prohibiting walk-ins.
So I don't know about you, but I think I'm in dire need of a haircut. And I think I would feel safe going to my own barber, which is actually 10 minutes away from the office. But I think that also comes, it also brings into question that regardless of what SOPs the government decides to, you know, implement, I really think it's on a case-by-case basis, right? Like, to what extent do that individual hair salon, how well can it execute these SOPs and ensure that its own customers feel safe versus another salon that may not implement them as well?
So you want them to open?
Yes, I do. And that, again, that comes into, you know, how I feel personally and how I think they would deal with the SOPs, which I think would be good. Like, I honestly think that my barber would take all precautionary measures, you know, not allow waiting times and make sure that everything is digital so that everything goes by appointment and so you don't have long queues outside. So, again, I think it comes down to what extent can people's individual barbers execute this? And, you know, does it mean washing hairs or sort of excluding services like hair washes and beard trims and simply limiting it to haircuts?
Yeah, I am on the end that no, for now. Mm. You know, I think so long as our cases remain at double digits, you know, during the whole half-on, half-off rotation that we have here,
right,
my standards for my physical appearance have just tanked. You know, I care a bit less now because I'm on the side where, well, you know, my hair's messy, I can just put a cap on it, and then if it just gets too much, well, that's it lah.
Mm.
So it's also whether or not, when it comes to, say, government policy, whether there is confidence in that, ensuring that, you know, cases remain low, and then right, that rules, policies, SOPs, and all those things are clear enough for everyone to understand, to follow. So it's also with the understanding that, okay, you know, the shop itself takes care of the well-being of its employees, the salons take care of and make sure that they follow SOPs immediately and everything's secured. But, you know, everyone has their personal lives in the sense that we don't know what happens outside of that. So right, I always have that element of concern. I don't know what's going on outside there, outside of the salon. So
right,
stepping in for me right now still seems a bit risky. Though, of course, I understand that people want to make a living, and they have to, and they should be able to, right? But again, you know, at the same time, while I worry about that risk, I'm sure there are also employees of salons and barbershops who are also sharing that same concern, right? They don't know whether it's safe enough to step out and do such work that's, that requires such close personal contact.
Either way, though, I think that whether it comes down to perhaps certain barbers opening and others continuing to remain closed. I was watching this video where in France, you know, some barbers have already, so salons have already opened, and one of the owners actually had to remind the patrons to wear masks because some of them were sort of oblivious and didn't care whether they were wearing masks or not. So I think it certainly comes down to both salon owners and customers doing their part to ensure that not only does a customer feel safe, but the person coming to work, and frankly, you know, to some extent, putting their lives at risk to make sure that they're feeling safe as well.
Yeah. So we have some messages. First up from Nia on Twitter that says, hairdressers and barbers need to earn a living too. Are face shields, masks, aprons, and gloves sufficient protection? Perhaps cutting hair outside and not inside within an enclosed aircon space. And as well as this message from me that says that, yeah, they have to open because they live hand to mouth. They depend on regular customers, and some have some have had their businesses badly affected even before the MCO. So maybe the customers can call the shops concerned to make appointments. And May is vouching for perm parlors because they do take good care of their health and safety. They make sure that the place is spick and span. Every time a customer is done, they'll do the cleaning up immediately. Continue sending your thoughts to us. Call us 7733-2900. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we will speak to two people from the industry. It's BFM 89.9.
Bole for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's the evening edition with Kelvin and Hezril. We are talking about the reopening of saloons and barbershops. Of course, there are calls for them, especially since, you know, I think business has been severely impacted of the MCO. Mm-hmm. You can let us know what you think. Do you want them to reopen? Why? You can call us 7733-2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. And on the line with us, we're now joined by Sean Leung, founder and director of Sean Cutler, as well as Lex Low, chief barber at Others Barber. Sean, Lex, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you for the invitation. Yes.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.
Okay, so Sean, how has your business been affected by the MCO?
Oh, they've been truly to say that it's very badly affected. And then because they don't have too much income, and then our industry is just down the road. You can see that a lot of people, they want to have a haircut, but they can't, and we are hit badly. I think our industry, one of the main things, we hit very badly.
Lex, how's it been for you?
Definitely, it's very much similar to, in fact, the same with Sean, because 2 months without income, but the expenses are still ongoing because we still have staff to pay, you know, and we pay the rental as well. And of course, with total zero income. So this says a lot about how it's affecting us as for the industry.
And initially, when it seemed like hairdressers were going to reopen early, much of the industry seemed opposed to that. What's the sentiment like at the moment?
I mean, in the whole Malaysia, we have 2,000 barbers. And then the hairdresser, we have about almost 5,000 to 7,000 hair salon. So not everyone actually is following the SOP. But in the meantime, I mean, for me, it's like 2 months. I think everybody in Malaysia especially, I think they're going to be ready to SOP. But you have to be knowledge about them because you have to give them a very good knowledge. Because not many hairdressers have knowledge about what is SOP mean. I can guarantee that.
And Lex, what about on your end?
Yeah, for me, I would think that at that point, we were all given, I'm sure the Prime Minister were, you know, choosing in between life and livelihood. So there's a lot of objection, obviously, at the early stage because people were putting life first before they chose livelihood because the risk is high back then. So like what Sean has mentioned, you know, with all the proper guideline of SOP, the protocol that we are taking, the safety measure for not just our industry, but the whole economy as well. So in fact, with all this SOP that is actually being enforced, it's actually protecting both the barbers and the customers. So I think right now, people are already starting to get more educated about it, and more organizations are coming out to speak strongly about the SOP, and people are really following now. So unlike the early stage, people are still unsure, not too ready for the risk. But I believe right now, everyone is preparing themselves and getting ready for this new norm, actually.
So looking at some of these precautions that you are expected to take, you know, Lex, what are you taking and how will operations have to change?
There's definitely a big change in the whole entire system. And of course, we have limited the amount of chairs in the shop. We are not going to take everything, but of course, we will oblige with the rule of the distance between each barber and, of course, the client himself. there's only so much that we can distance. But of course, we focus a lot on the sanitizing as well. We enforce a lot of rules on the safety masks, and all these are the norms that we will actually enforce. But it's a lot on showing to the client what are we doing in terms of the process, sanitizing, to really build back the confidence for the client. And of course, before this, we did take a lot of walk-ins. But after this, there will be strongly encouraged of our clients to really do by appointment basis only and allow us to ensure that the crowd control is there rather than you can walk in at any point of time to get a haircut.
I'm agreed at what Jeff Kevin said because it's like because everyone wants to take precaution of everything because from the customer that's coming from the steps, from our door, definitely we will be preparing all the SOP. Because for me, it's, I've been preparing since the last 2 weeks. I thought it was opening after the the 5th of the day of 12.
Yeah.
I'm so excited it's going to be open. So everything I've been preparing, the sanitizer is one the main thing inside. And then, of course, we have to do a proper way. Because it's like, okay, let's say for our customer service, okay? We have to educate the customer when they come. Because mostly my customers are by appointment. So you have to make sure that you bring in your mask, you make sure they are sanitizer. So when you reach to the salon, you definitely will step a table outside, out of the salon, not inside the salon. So to make sure the temperature will be checked, you know, then the details that we need to put the details on it before the 14 days where you go, who you meet up, you know, do you have any family that you have committed to the virus sort of thing. And then also, I need to know where you're from, is it red zone or green zone before? That's most important, I need to know, that's most important. And then we make sure that the cleaners also be well organized, like a cutting kit. The most important thing is our cutting kit. Because everything we set up, we make sure that the cutting kit is like once used, then you throw. We dispose of it. And then to make sure the customer is wash your hair, will be distant also, you know, that's most important. And then our staff also, every morning will be cleaners to make sure that we have to show the customer that we are really truly cleaners to ourselves, then make sure the customer feel comfortable. So then this is how we do it.
Now, Lex, I must confess, I actually go to others barber for my for my haircut. So
which branch do you go to?
The one in Tropicana Avenue.
Ah,
so you know, when I am allowed to finally drop in, will you be able to provide full services like, you know, Sean mentioned just now, you know, hair washing and all that? Or is it likely just going to be limited to trims, shaves and haircuts for the time being?
So one thing that we're going to definitely take away from the service until further notice, which is the shaving process, because that's require a really close distance between us, the barber, and the client. And of course, we will encourage client to do a hair wash prior to visit our shop. We try to minimize the contact as much as we can.
And Sean?
I mean, definitely my closest to the customers probably is we are doing is coloring. The chemical-wise, we are closest. Why? Because we don't do shaving and then we don't do waxing stuff. Then I think it's probably the way of we are doing only because of the cut will be the closest one. Probably a couple of inch off, maybe 10 inches. I mean,
it's very close.
Yeah, very close. But that's the most important thing. The customer have to wear masks, and then we have to wear masks because we already prepare ourselves to wear shield.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most important because, I mean, it depends because it's like you're dealing with public people. We're dealing with people that have different kind of attitude. Different because even though our staff also got different attitude, right? Correct? Right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to educate the people. Even though you say that the PKP, you know, we're released, we need to follow distancing, everything. But you go to the public, you saw everyone that distancing themselves. It's kind of difficult for them to learn. But we try our best because we limit our customers maybe an hour, maybe 1.5 hours. We'll just allow 5 people to come in. Because if you get a messy type, then customers are waiting for outside and then the people are sitting there, then people are just kind of rushing because after when you leave, then you allow us to reopen our salon. That's the first week or 2 weeks. Probably we're going to be quite rushed for the people who come and cut hair. I think that's a moment we are taking a very precaution of that. That's most important.
Right. And moving forward, Sean, are there any steps you'll be taking to adjust to this pandemic financially?
I mean, for me, for instance, due to the government, we give a special offer like 1,002 because we applied for that. But we still have to make sure we communicate with the staff. You cannot just control, say, the government don't make any money. We need to cut pay. I mean, it's unfair to the employee as well. but also we need employer to support us also. So we're planning really well. So far, I can admit that the employees I have is we're actually very understanding. So I'm quite pleased with that.
Lex, what steps are you taking to adjust financially?
For the adjustment in terms of financial, definitely for the past 2 months, we have been speaking to our landlords on adjusting the rental. And we still pay our staff salary for this 2 months. And we are looking in cutting down the cost as much as we can. We try to focus more on building back the confidence. And in fact, we are hoping that everything, you know, that we'll back resume within next month or even better this month. So we are actually investing a lot more, actually, in terms of double up or triple up the sanitizing procedure. So we are trying to reduce costs that we can try to reduce or we can, you know, but at the same time, we also financially invest in things that will enhance the confidence and safety measure. So it's a chicken and egg thing, you know, but this is a tough time. We have to be very careful with our spending. We try to lower down certain budget, but focus a lot in rebuilding back the confidence and the safety environment for our clients and our barbers as well.
And then just one more thing that I want to follow up that the landlord, that's our renting place. Because in you just compare to the shopping mall, I mean like Pavilion, Gardens, some shopping mall, they're giving wave up the whole entire month. But, you know, like a lot of bubble, especially bubble shops, salon side, there are a lot of people from out of the shopping mall. It's like, you're always like individual shop lots. That is the part that actually clean a lot of hairdressers. Because the landlord will always give you 20% off, the landlord give you 30% off. You know, this is actually what actually they're facing. That's the most facing part. Even though the government asks them to give 30, 35% or 40, you talk to your landlord. But for me, I don't understand because it's like, government say that, I mean, people who have loan, the fixed loan, you don't need to pay for 6 months, or car loan, don't need a fixed one. But I don't really understand why the landlord always have to hold, I have to pay this, I have to pay that, you know, make sure that we cannot cut too much. That is actually killing a lot of business people like us, especially. Because it's like, we're cutting hair only how much? Then someone, the sanitizing, we need to be prepared now. We need to spend more money on sanitizing now. So who's going to pay the cost? True or not? You cannot ask the customer, okay, I'm doing sanitizing of this one, I need to increase 20 ringgit for another extra cost of because I'm preparing all this sanitizing. Secondly, when we are allowed to open, okay, but this past 6 months, do we going to be have a same norm profit comeback from the last 6 months and compared to the future of 6 months? It definitely dropped at least 50% to 60%. So this is a very hard time for us for another 6 months to go until the new year. Next year, it's going to be a very difficult time for our industry. Even though they open, maybe next 2 months, a lot of bubble going to be, a lot of hairdresser, a lot of salon going to be either they're cutting down their staff or they're cutting down their shop. Especially wherever have a lot of branches, or wherever have a lot of staff, probably they're going to cut it off. Then this is to say a lot of people will be unemployed. That's what I can see.
Now, what's it going to take for the sector to recover, and where can the government come in the immediate term? Lex, maybe we can start off with you.
Okay. Now, first of all, let's look at the public. Now, the public has to understand what the industry is taking in terms of our, you know, the measure that we are taking, the steps, the protocol that we're taking in embracing this challenge as a whole industry itself. We have to keep communicating with the people, right? And people will understand what we are actually going through. In fact, I really appreciate this interview, because it allows us as a hairdresser, as a barbers, to actually share with the public. Now, this is the first understanding. Now, the government has really helped us in terms of the subsidy of the wages. And of course, moving forward, there are certain implementation that the government can take. For example, like, you know, if they can help us in terms of, like what Sean has mentioned just now, a big part of it was the rental, right? For us, what else can we do for the staff especially, right? So if we want to continue to keep our staff, we need to make sure that we take care of them well, not just in terms of financially. You know, the whole past 2 months, we have been also constantly engaged with our staff, with our client as well, because mental health is one real issue. So support from finance, support from the staff welfare, you know, all this will actually help us as the business owner to continue to prolong our business in a better way. Yeah, for those who have a lot of branches, they probably can seek help to get more grants, sort of grants that can help all these small businesses like us. Some of our branches, we actually applied, for example, the subsidy wages, but we have yet to get confirmation. Mm. So we are at the verge of questioning whether we will get the subsidy wages or not. So there's a lot of all these questions that actually kept us pondering whether do we seek help or do we not, actually, yeah, from the government.
And what are your thoughts on this, Sean?
I think the government need to help us is the two things the most important. To stay firm, to make sure that landlords actually don't take advantage of this. To make them a flat rate, like this part, 6 months, maybe a flat rate. Maybe we give you 30%. In these 6 months, we make sure that the landlord will increase you, sort of thing. We make you 30% of discount. I mean, it's fair to the landlord and fair to us. Secondly, I mean, employees also affected. But the government, we need to help the employers. Because when you help the employers, do you have proper way to make sure that we have a lot of enough income, and then we need to pay the employees. But the government, I mean, I never say things like the government doesn't help, but in the mean that government use it, it's just to make sure the employees is they have money to survive. But we don't have very full support of the government to our employers. That is the main thing. Because it's very obvious that we've been victimized, that we have to pay, we have to force to pay the employees. We don't pay, we got someone. That is the first thing. Secondly, because you apply the grant and everything, you need to make sure that we have to pay full amount for the employees. But just imagine, some of the hair salon, sometimes they have income only for 1 month or spend for 2 months. But the next following months, I don't think so. A lot of salon that we stock up kind of a lot of cash for giving you a salary for the staff. It's not about taking care of the employees, first only taking care of the staff. But if you don't have a business, how are you going to pay the salary to the employees? Correct. And then also one more thing is just like, I really have a lot of issues for my friends, a lot of company. They don't want to come up for work. They're just scared to be infected.
Mm.
So the first thing going to infect is our employees, because it's like we are facing the public. So not all the staff are willing to come to work. Even though I see all the big company, they'll be asking for the staff to go, but they also cannot. Even though in the shopping mall, they've been facing the customer, they don't really want to go for work. They just ask for unpaid leave.
Right, and on that note, Sean, Lex, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts with us today.
You're welcome.
That was Sean Leung, founder and director of Sean Cutler, and Lex Low, chief barber at Others Barber, giving us their perspective on the continued shutdown of hair salons and barbershops during the MCO. You can let us know your thoughts. Do you want them to reopen? You know, what would you like to see change within the industry when you get your next haircut? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 0187898899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. It's the evening edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.